college choir. You know me. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we bless you and thank you for today. Pray now that everything that we do and say will be pleasing in your sight. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, my strength and redeemer. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we live in a world where a large number of people feel a sense of entitlement. Privilege is their right, not necessarily a responsibility. And there are many of us in the body of Christ who have mistakenly been taught that church is more about us and less about God. That when we come to church, it's our coming to church and in essence almost doing God a favor when we show up. And when we come to church, we're looking for what we can get, not what we can give. We're looking to be church caned and almost offended when we are equipped instead of entertained. My brothers and sisters, I want to challenge you today to recognize that God has blessed us with a great privilege. Matter of fact, it might be the greatest privilege we have as believers. And that's the privilege to be able to tell somebody who needs Jesus about Jesus so they can know him as Savior, and the privilege to be able to help somebody who knows Jesus to grow in him as their Lord. Now, you might not see it as a privilege, but I'm here to tell you today that it's a privilege to be used by God. And I want you to think for a moment about who it was that shared the gospel with you. Who was it that prayed for you to know the Lord? Who was it that showed God's love to you so that you got to a place where you wanted to know Jesus for yourself? Now imagine for a moment if instead of loving you, sharing with you, and showing God's love to you, instead of praying for you, imagine if they were quiet. Imagine if they had never told you about God's love. Imagine if they had never shared God's love for you. Imagine if they were too afraid to share the gospel with you. Imagine if they were too busy to love you in Jesus' name. See, here's the truth of the matter, and many of us have failed to realize this. Every one of us is evidence of someone else's obedience to God. Every one of us is the response to somebody's obedience. And there is somebody who is waiting for your obedience so they will know God. And when you say you don't have time, when you say you're afraid, when you say you're shy, when you say you're introverted, you're reserved, and you can't share God's love with somebody else, you can't share the gospel message, they're sitting there waiting and needing you to be obedient to God. Whether it's family, friends, coworkers, neighbors, they're waiting to see the light of the world shine through you. They're waiting to experience the salt of the earth come through you. And let me tell you why this is so important today. Because we have been erroneously taught, my brothers and sisters, that it is the preacher's responsibility to win people to Christ. Matter of fact, come on, let's be honest. Bring them to church and let the pastor preach to them. And come forward and give the preacher your hand and give God your heart. When in actuality, we should all be equipped enough that when somebody comes at our invitation, we should be able to bring them saved, not bring them to get saved. Today, for a few moments, I want to challenge you to think about this message that the Apostle Paul shared in Romans chapter 10. See, when Jesus gave the Great Commission, gave the great commandment, Jesus didn't give it to extraordinary super Christians. He didn't give it to those Green Beret believers, those Navy SEAL saints. He didn't give it to believers who could leap tall Bibles in a single bound. Look up in the sky, it's a bird, it's a plane. No, it's super Christian. God chose ordinary people. Can I tell you how ordinary these brothers were? They were so ordinary that they didn't even speak classical Greek. They spoke Koine Greek. It was like hood Greek. It's like Ebonic Greek, right? They didn't speak the Greek of Plato and Socrates. Not that they couldn't understand them, but these were just common fishermen, common workers that God entrusted the gospel message to. God is looking for ordinary people who want to be used in an extraordinary way. Today, I want to talk to you for a few moments from the thought, how to help people know Jesus. How to help people know Jesus. This is part two of a message we started on last week, and the reason I've titled this How to Help People Know Jesus is because it's not enough for us just to help people. We help people, but we have a goal at the end of helping people, and that's for them to know Jesus. That's what distinguishes our helping from every other help that's given, because we have an objective at the end, and that's to be able to serve people in such a way that they not only experience the love of God, but they want to hear the message of the gospel so that they can experience that love in a tangible way. If you have your outlines, would you say amen? If you need an outline, raise your hand and the ushers will get one to you. Two things I want you to see today. Now, on last week, just in the form of review, I shared with you two things. I said, first and foremost, you must desire for people to know Jesus and be saved. You have to have a heart for people to be saved. What a tragedy that in the world in which we live, Christians are known more for their condemning speech than they are for their compassionate speech. That we look to put people down instead of lift people up. We're defined as a religion by many who focuses on what you can't do instead of helping people discover what God wants them to do. You have to have a desire for people to know Jesus. Got to care about lost people. Got to care about people to help them be better than they currently are. Second thing I shared with you on last week, you can draw near to others through service. Our season to serve is really intended for us to draw near to people, to interact with people who need to know him and who need to grow in him. And that's a choice, and it's got to be intentional. Can I tell you something I've learned in life? Intentional has kind of been my little mantra for the last now couple of years, because I've learned that nothing great happens by accident. And if something great happens by accident, it won't be maintained by accident. You have to be intentional. You got to be intentional about your walk with God. You got to be intentional about obeying God. You have to be intentional about being all that God created you to be. So you got to draw near to others through service. All right, let's go to part two. Everybody ready? If you're ready, say, oh yeah. Oh, yeah. Here's the first thing. If you're going to help people know Jesus, part two, you need to declare the gospel of Jesus to those who need him. You need to declare the gospel of Jesus to those who need him. Romans 10:14, the ESV translation, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have not never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? Now, I want you to underline without someone preaching. Here's what I want you to recognize, and I believe the translation of the ESV is more accurate than previous translations, because some translations say, how can they hear without a preacher? The ESV says, how can they hear without preaching? Look at the New Living Translation. the last part of verse 14, and how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? Here's a mistake that we've made. We have erroneously been taught that the only one who can preach is the preacher. It's as if sharing the gospel has come with a warning label. Do not try this at home. Leave this to the professionals. Oh no, Pastor, I can't share the gospel with anybody. I'm not spiritual enough. I'm barely making it myself. Listen, when Andrew met Jesus, you know how long it took him to go tell his brother Peter that he met Jesus? Not one day. How long did it take the woman at the well when she had an encounter with Jesus? Matter of fact, can I tell you, this woman was so slick. She was shrewd. Watch what this sister did. She meets Jesus at the well. And Jesus says to her, go tell your husband to come. And she says, I don't have a husband. Right? And then Jesus is like, yeah, you're right. Because the 5 men that you had before and the one you have now is not your husband. But there's something powerful in the 7th man that you're meeting today. So he tells her, right, that he's there, goes through the whole conversation, and she accepts Christ as a savior. Here's where the shrewdness comes in. And you miss it if you don't look at it in the original language. She goes to the town to tell the men about Jesus, but she's a woman with a reputation. And because she's a woman with a reputation, she knows that her words are not going to be received with the integrity that she wants them to be received. That folk are going to look at her and say, oh man, that's old so-and-so. You know, old boy had her around the corner. Yeah, he had her too. You know, he had her too. So when she goes to see these fellas, she goes to the brothers and she says to them, I just met a man. I'm paraphrasing now. I just met a man. Told me all about my life. And she goes through this whole thing about what he said. And she said, he couldn't be the Christ, could he? Like, she didn't go and say, oh, I just saw Jesus. Because their reaction would have been, yeah, right. So she goes through this whole thing, and then she's like, that couldn't be the Savior, could it? Nah, I'm not that smart. I wouldn't know if I saw the Savior or not. And then they all go, girl, that's the Savior. And they run to see Jesus, right? Here's all I'm trying to get you to understand. God wants to use you to declare his gospel. God wants to use you, because watch this, each one of you will come in contact with people that I will never see, that a pastor will never meet. Many of them have a phobia of even coming to church, but you can take the church to them. And you can share with them God's love, the same love that you have received. Paul says, without hearing him. I mean, watch the argument. People can't call upon the one in whom they have not believed. They cannot believe in the one of whom they have not heard. And they can't hear unless somebody shares with them. Not a preacher. We have this insatiable gallop to the pulpit. As soon as somebody feels like they've been called by God, and when I say called, I'm not using a preaching call, just a burden, a passion to be used by God, they feel like they got to come to the pulpit. And y'all, I can't tell you how many people gallop to the pulpit wanting to say that they're a preacher, who have no more fire after they get in the pulpit than they had in the pew. There are those of you in this church, I'm so proud of you. You do more ministry from your seat than pastors I know do from the pulpit. Because the place that you stand does not determine the power that you have. Obedience is what God is looking for. And God says, you got to declare it with your life, and you've got to be prepared to declare it with your words. And don't edit God's message to make it more fashionable. Don't change the gospel to make it more palatable. Man, we have a generation of preachers now. It comes up on my timeline just, I guess, because I'm a preacher and I've looked at this stuff before, so I'm in the algorithm somewhere. And one of the advertisements came across my screen, Deacon Page, it said, preaching to attract, learn how to preach to attract the unchurched. And I'm like, where was that in the Bible? John 6, the text says Jesus had some hard sayings that folk were so hard they walked away. And then he looked at the 12 and said, hey, y'all gonna leave too? Because the power of Jesus' ministry was not just in who came, it was also seen in who he was willing to let walk away. Jesus never chased anybody to follow him. Ooh, that might be a message for somebody today. Stop chasing the one who don't want to follow you. Lord, have mercy. I just threw that in for free. All right. Here's the core of the gospel. Write this down somewhere. Here's the core of the gospel. You're saying, what do I share, Pastor? Here's the core. God created us and has authority over us. God created us and has authority over us. Number two, we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It's not y'all have sinned, it's we all have sinned. And many of us take a self-righteous position when somebody's sin specialty is not your sin choice. So we love to talk about other people's sins that are not our sins. And we say, amen, get them, Pastor. And then when it's your sin, it's ouch. Lord, have mercy. Third thing, Jesus Christ died for your sins and rose again. That he died for you. He paid a price for you that you could not pay for yourself. Fourth thing, God calls us to repent and believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord. That's Romans 10:9 right there, right? Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and you shall be saved. You shall be saved. See, Jesus is about transforming and changing. And here's what God wants you to do. If you ever have a question of what to share, share your story. Talk about the grace you've received from God. Talk about what God has done, is doing, and will do in your life. Talk about how far the Lord has brought you, that you haven't always been where you are right now. Recognize your dependence upon the Holy Spirit. Read the scriptures and confront your own fears, because some of you, what has kept you from sharing what God has done in your life is nothing more than fear. And you got to learn how to deepen your gratitude for the cross. Some of you have been sharing. I just had a member at the 8 o'clock service share her story with me. It was a powerful story of how she picked somebody up and was sharing the gospel with them. And she was wondering if she did a good job or not. Listen, every one of us, when we serve with a purpose. Many of you know how to shop online, and Amazon man knows exactly where to leave your package. The Amazon woman, she already knows the code to the garage, right? Can you imagine if a delivery person came, had the item you ordered, rang the doorbell, got back in their truck and left and didn't leave the package at the door? They did everything necessary except what they were supposed to do, and that's deliver the package. Y'all, when we go and serve, we don't serve just to be serving. We got to deliver the package. We got to show and share God's love with other people. Now listen, don't bring that big coffee table Bible with you. That's not what we're talking about. Sometimes it's just as simple as, hey, how can I pray for you? What's going on in your life? Just to raise in somebody's spirit a God consciousness. Because contrary to popular opinion, many people go through the entire week and never think about God one time. Here's the second thing. Number two, you must direct people to respond to the gospel of Jesus in faith. You must direct people to respond to the gospel of Jesus in faith. Verse 16, Romans 10, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. Underline that phrase. They have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. You must direct people to respond to the gospel of Jesus in faith. Everybody say faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. But there are two sides to this faith coin. There's the saving faith and there's the serving faith. A saving faith helps me to know Jesus as my Savior, but a serving faith helps me to walk obediently in following him. When we serve, we are walking out our serving faith, believing that God wants to use us to help somebody who needs him to know him and somebody who knows him to grow in him. That's our serving faith. We please God when we exercise our serving faith, and others please God when they come to know him as Savior and exercise their saving faith in God. Saving faith is not the end of the journey, it's the beginning. But God wants us to serve. And the gospel information that we are to share is a summons. We are compelling people to come. When we serve, they should see some God in us. And when we open our mouths, they should hear some God coming out of our mouths. The love, the compassion, and the like. Paul says they have not all obeyed the gospel. Now, man, I thank God for his providence. Somebody who's watching and somebody who's here today, you have gotten frustrated and discouraged because folk didn't say yes. I'm going down to volunteer to feed the homeless. Man, would you come with me? No. And it never dawned on you that somebody would say no. Like, no, we're going down to help people. No. Like, do you say no to petting puppies too? Like, what? How are you so definitive about this? Like, no. And your whole little speech was crushed. You were like, oh my God. Now, how do we respond to that? Right? Because if you're not careful, you'll be offended. You'll be offended by them rejecting God's invitation. Oh, fine. Shake dust off my feet. I ain't got to talk to you no more. And don't call me when you need something either. Or maybe you're discouraged and you're like, you know what? I ain't never asking nobody again. I'm not asking nobody again. Oh God, I can't believe this because my stronghold of rejection came up. Brought up all them rejection moments in my life from childhood. And, oh God, Lord, I'm just trying to do right. Listen, it's okay if somebody says no. You know why? Because you're a farmer and you're planting seed in the soil of somebody's heart. It may take time for that seed to germinate. You will plant a seed. Somebody else may water the seed. Somebody else may claim the fruit. It's okay because we're all in the kingdom work together. Zion McGregor is a young man. He's a pastor and he wrote an article, Who Grows the Church? And it's a brilliant article. And Zion in the article, I'm just summarizing now, says, you know, too many churches and pastors think and act like manufacturers instead of farmers. We've come up with a process that we're going to put people through, and at the end of that process, here's what's going to be produced. And he said, no, it's not a manufacturing process. We are farmers, and ultimately, just like the farmer plants the seed, tills the soil, waters the seed, and waits on God, we have to till the soil of people's hearts with love, plant the seed of hope in their heart, and then we have to wait on God. And listen, quiet as it's kept, somebody waited on you. My mother would tell the story. I think it was 28 years. I think it was 28 years. And she prayed for my father to come to the Lord. 28 years. He told a story. She prayed. He still had some edges on him. He's a little rough around the edges, you know. Wasn't as sanctified as he could have been, but he was saved. Holy Ghost was still working on him, you know. Right? But she said she prayed 28 years for him to come to faith. Is there anybody you've been praying for that you stopped praying for, that you need to start back praying for? Is there anybody, watch this, that you talk about more than you pray for? And you need to invert that formula. Stop talking about them and start praying for them. If you can't say amen, you can say ouch on that. We plant, we water, God gives the increase, and God gives the growth. And we do it not so people talk about, oh my God, what a great church you are. We do it so people will say, what a great God you serve. Because we want God to get the glory out of it all. So pray, serve, invite, love, but the Holy Spirit's got to convict. The Holy Spirit has to awaken. The Holy Spirit has to draw. Look at John 6:44. For no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them to me. And at the last day, I will raise them up. So, Pastor, if I show love, if I care about people, if I serve, if I invite people to come and serve with me and they say no, like, how do I know if I've been successful or not? Your standard of success as a Christian is not tied to the response of somebody else. Your success as a Christian is found in your obedience to God. They can reject your sharing. They can reject Jesus. And you know what God wants you to do? Keep praying. Keep serving. Keep sharing. Keep trusting God to do what only God can do. Your role is faithfulness. God's role is transformation. You be faithful to what God called you to do and then trust God to do what you can't do. So how do we move forward? How do we close out? Declare the gospel to people. But display the gospel before you declare the gospel. Show them you're a Christian before you say you're a Christian. Because you don't want your actions to invalidate your message. Listen, if somebody followed you around right now and they never heard you say a word, they just followed you, could they get enough evidence to charge you with being a Christian? No. Let's exclude where you go on Sunday. Monday through Saturday, they wiretapped your phone. They following you. They eavesdropping on conversations. Would there be probable cause to charge you with being a Christian? Now, you know what probable cause is, right? Two rules for probable cause. One, the belief that a crime was committed. And secondly, a reasonable assertion that you were the person who committed the crime or the offense. Probable cause. You can't be charged with a crime legally without probable cause. Right? Police officers in Harris County got a call to DA's office now. They just are not supposed to arrest you on a willy whim. They got a call in the charge. And the DA's office, whoever the person is on duty, says, what's the probable cause? What's the probable cause? Is there probable cause to convict you for being a Christian? To charge you with being, forget if you can be convicted. Can you just be charged with being a Christian? Every one of us has this responsibility. Let me just close by telling you this. Our mission is too important to remain silent. The gospel message is like a life preserver. And people are drowning around us in a sea of sin. And shame on you if you celebrate the preserver that saved you and won't toss it to somebody else. Today, I want to encourage you to live God's message, to lovingly, faithfully show and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's your turn. Somebody came to you. It's your turn to go to somebody now. Somebody loved you. It's your turn to love somebody now intentionally. Somebody prayed for you. Man, we celebrate somebody praying for us so much, we sing a song about it. Want to hear it? Here it goes. Somebody prayed for me, had me on their mind, took the time to pray for me. I'm so glad they prayed. I'm so glad they prayed. I'm so glad they prayed for me. We say, oh, no, it's not enough for somebody. Let me tell you something. My mama prayed for me, had me on her mind, took the time to pray for me. Oh, no, not just mama. Big mama prayed for me, had me on her mind. My daddy prayed for me. Who are you praying for? Who will be able to say, I came to faith because my daddy, my mama, my auntie, my uncle, my play mama, my play daddy, oh, Mr. So-and-so, oh, Miss So-and-so, Daddy so-and-so, Mother so-and-so, prayed for me, loved me, and encouraged me to know Jesus as my Savior. The old hymn said it well. If I can help somebody as I pass along, if I can cheer somebody with a word or song, if I can show somebody they're traveling wrong, then my living shall not be in vain, a wasted life. If I can do my duty as a good Christian ought, if I can bring that duty to a world that's lost, if I can spread a love message that the master taught, then my living shall not be in vain. Then my living shall not be in vain. Know my living shall not be in vain. If I can help somebody as I pass along, then my living shall not be in vain. Father, we thank you today. I thank you for those who are here, who are present. I thank you for the good news that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. I thank you for loving us when we were lost. Thank you for sending your Son into our broken world to help heal our broken lives. Thank you that Jesus, who lived without sin, died in our place and paid the price for our sins and rose again triumphantly from the grave. Thank you, God, for the person who prayed for us, the person who served us, the person who spoke to us, and the person who shared the gospel with us. Now, God, make us willing to go. Help us who have been saved to now make a commitment to help somebody else to know you. Give us your heart for people, God. Help us to see more than immediate problems. Help us to see everybody created in your image who need to know you. Forgive us for serving without speaking. Forgive us for speaking without loving. Forgive us for ignoring needs when service and serving somebody else was inconvenient for us. Forgive us for not seeing every moment to show your love as an opportunity to walk in obedience to you. Give us a renewed commitment. Send us to our neighbors, our co-workers, our classmates, our friends, our family members, our communities. And remind us, God, that we don't have to become salt and become light, that we are salt and we are light. So help us to be who you have already created us to be. Make our feet beautiful because they carry the good news. Make our hands useful because they demonstrate your compassion. And may our lives tell people God is love and that they are loved by you. I ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.
Can we thank God for the word on today? Come on, church. Let's thank God for the word. Amen. God sent his word to heal us and to save us, and that's just what we received on today. The word of God was given, and there, anytime the word is given, there is to be a response. The word is given, and then there is a response. The word is given, and then there is a response. Today, there's an ask. The ask is number one for those who do not know Jesus. And if you don't know him, you need to know him. Why? Because in no other name can your salvation be found. In no other name can your hope be given. In no other name will you find rest for your soul. You can call Mama, Daddy, Buddha, Confucius, all of them, won't do you no good. But at the name of Jesus, we all get the right to the tree of life. Life abundantly. And somebody here, you know, you've been doing it on your own, by yourself. And God is saying, God has been pulling on your heart even in this message. Pastor was preaching and God was just poking at your heart. And I'm knocking at the door. I'm trying to get you open up that door and let me in. This is your opportunity to say yes to the Lord. The second response that God is waiting on is for somebody who knows Jesus, but you have not been a part of his church, a part of this family or a believing family where you can grow, where you can learn, where you can develop, where you can live out the gifts and abilities and give out what God has so divinely and richly put in you. That call is for you today. You can't do Christianity by yourself. I was sitting somewhere and folks much older than I, they were talking and I was eavesdropping. Well, no, they were really talking so loud that you couldn't help but to eavesdrop. And everybody got to talking about, I ain't religious. I'm spiritual. And I said, let me order my food. Get up out of here. I don't want to bother the spiritual people. And I don't have to be a part of a church. That's they're just yelling this stuff out. I don't have to be a part of a church. And I don't have to be a part of it. I talk to God every day. And then they got into relationship problems. Then they got to talk about their children were no good. Then they got to talk about, I said, that's why you need a church. High spin spiritual working for you now. And somebody here, you need him, and others of you who are here, you know him, but you need to be with a family of faith who will encourage you, who will pray for you, and who will be there for you for your matriculation and your maturation in Jesus Christ. So let's stand today. If you're here today, we want you to come because God is waiting on you. Come on, music ministry, help us out.
We
all for Christ.
All for Christ to you.
Oh, my brother.
Oh, my brother.
If you're here today, don't debate, don't delay. Just come to a saving faith.
All for Christ to you.
Oh, my sister.
Oh, my sister.
What will it do, church?
He will.
Come on, church, show some love to our brother. Come on, show our brother some love. Come on to Christ.
To Christ.
Come on to Christ. We offer Christ to you.
We offer Christ to you.
Oh, my brother.
My brother,
we offer Christ to you.
Offer Christ to you.
Oh, my sister.
Oh, my sister. He will give you brand new life.
Yeah.
New life abundantly.
Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on, come on, come on.
Come on
to Christ. Come on to Christ.
To Christ.
Somebody sitting there and you're saying, oh, man, I'm so glad that that's that. Well, here's Somebody saying even that, man, you don't know my story, Pastor Cam. You don't understand what I've been through, who I am, and what I've done. And I understand. That was a man who lived in a village, and he was known for stealing sheep. But nobody could ever catch him stealing sheep. But they knew he was the one who stole the sheep. And so one day the community came together and branded him on his forehead. They put the letters S.T, standing for sheep thief. And so he went around branded as S.T. Well, one day, this man left that city, started his life all over again in a new place. He was always helping the older people, volunteering at the school. I mean, he was a model, so he was in the food pantry at Good Hope. And somebody said, man, I wonder what that ST stands for. They got together and they said, do you know this? And somebody said, no, I don't know. But you know what? After looking at this man and what he's done in our community, that ST got to stand for saint. And in one community, he was a sheep thief. But in another community, they saw him as a saint. And that's what God will do in your life. No matter what your past is, no matter what you've been through, no matter what they've labeled you, God will turn your story all around. And if you just give God the opportunity to change your name, to change your character, to change your conduct, to change your walk, change your talk, change your way of living, change your way of thinking, God will do some amazing things in your life. Somebody here, you've been worried about what they've been calling you, but God know how to put glory on your name. God know how to put Holy Ghost on your name. God know how to put pep in your step again, put glide in your stride again. God knows how to turn your situation and your life all the way around. Lift up your head this morning. Did you hear what I said? I said, lift up your head this morning. God is able to do amazing, wonderful, great things, and all he's waiting is for your yes. If you're here today, this is your moment. This is your time, and God is waiting on your response. Come on, let's sing, "We Offer Christ to You." To you, my brother, to you, my sister. To you, my brother, and to you, my sister. Come on, we offer Christ to you.
Offer Christ to you, oh my brother.
Silver and gold have I none, but what I have I can give to you.
Offer Christ to you,
oh my sister.
Oh my sister.
What will it do, church? He will give you brand new life. I'm a witness.
New life abundantly.
Won't you come? 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 Come on.
Come on.
Come on to Christ. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. You who are weary.
You who are weary and heavy laden, all come.
Come to Christ.
To Christ.
Now look down your aisle and ask that person, are we waiting on you? Get an answer. Some of y'all ain't looked at nobody. I'm looking at you. Look at them and ask them, are we waiting on you? And if they say yeah, tell them I'm gonna be your spiritual Uber. I'm gonna be your spiritual lift. You need a church home. And they look at you and say, yeah, I'm gonna be your spiritual Uber and your lift. One more last time. Search your hearts. Why are you taking so much on this? Well, this is what it's about. This is what this is about. Calling souls to the Father. If you're here, we want you to come. One more time, and then we close this session.
We offer Christ to you.
Oh, my brother.
Oh, my brother.
We offer.
Offer Christ to you.
Oh, my sister.
Oh, my sister.
He will
give you brand new life, new
and life,
abundantly. Oh, come.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Come on
to Christ.
To Christ.
Can we thank God for our brother who has come? As many brothers that are close to us, can you come? As many brothers that can come close to us, can you come? Dr. Whitaker, would you pray for us?
Dear God, our Father, come before you with everything that we got. Father, we are carrying burdens. Father, we are carrying issues. We are carrying hurt. But God, we also understand that you got so much more for us in store than just that. So Father, we come to you in a transactional way right now. Father, we will give you our troubles in exchange for your joy. Father, we will give you our problems in exchange for your peace. Father, we will give you our issues in exchange for all the might that you have. God, I ask your blessings on my brother right now, dear God. You know exactly what he's dealing with. You know what he's going through, but I ask that you not let this be the end of his story. Father, let this be a pivot point. Let this be a turnaround for him, God, to see you in a better way, to know you better than he ever has before, and to experience everything that you have for his life right now, dear God. And God, as I pray for him, I pray for everybody else in the room. Father, anybody who needs to make this exchange, God, I ask that you would let them do it. Let them lay all the troubles at your feet, dear God, and pick up everything that you have in exchange for them, dear God. Father, please continue to guide us your way. Continue to let us know how to be who you say we should be. Let us all, Father, in this room, consistently share your love, your power, your peace and your passion with everyone else around us. Continue to bless us, dear God. Continue to keep us. Continue to protect us. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Encourage him, brothers. Come on, encourage him. Amen. Let the church say amen. 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 It's time to give in the Lord's house. Can we say praise the Lord? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. We are so glad that we can give unto the Lord's work. Amen. We want to make certain that we're able to give into to the work that the Lord has provided to our hands. Let the church say hope to the world. Amen. We're able to give in the way that we give because, and do what we're able to do because of the gifts that are received through tithes and offerings. So today, if you are giving to the Lord by way of a paper gift or physical currency, our deacons are coming around and they're going to receive it that way. If you're like me, you're giving on digital platforms, those six ways that you can give are on the screen. But however you give and whatever you give, we ask that you give with a cheerful heart, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And we want to be anything the Lord loves. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and we bless you and we give your name glory for this offering that is getting ready to be received. We ask, oh Father, that it is used for the upbuilding of your kingdom. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 They're coming at this time.